welcome to our second episode of A Lot to Talk About, the live podcast from inside of Das Lot. A Lot to Talk About is part of Lot in Context, our art mediation format to our events, formats, and the artists we are working with. This time, we invite you to join us in the middle of Artificial Territories, our new media exhibition. With our wonderful guests, we are talking about artificial intelligence and ludic art. Enjoy.
First record. Wow.
Oh
okay.
My God,
I'm excited.
Welcome to Lot in Context. Literally in the middle of artificial territories. This year's edition of the annual Media Art Group exhibition at Das Lot. Das Lot is a space for transdisciplinary art and artistic research, whatever that means. We are located in the Ankerbrotfabrik in Favoriten, the 10th district of Vienna. And today we are sitting in the middle of an exhibition, but this space also hosts almost every kind of artistic event you can think of. From theater to dance, visual art, circus, digital art, and music. And this will be the second edition of our podcast, A Lot to Talk About. Today, we invited three wonderful guests to this talk. And we will talk about the topics of AI, interactive art. And this is also the focus of this exhibition called Artificial Territories. And we welcome for this Margarete Jahrmann from the University of Applied Arts. Hello. And we also welcome Joanna Zabielska. She is an artist and in different disciplines. I see you in so much, in many different contexts, so I will be very, very happy to have you here and to talk with you about all of these topics. Thank you. And Chardas Chechen, our colleague from Das Lot and the curator of this exhibition and also a media artist. Hello.
Hello.
So I will also introduce briefly myself. I'm Sarah Zelt. I am part of the leading team of Das Lot. My background is in theater. I'm an actress and also doing interdisciplinary art with a focus on participation methods and site-specific works. I will moderate this talk together with Will. And Will, do you want to introduce yourself? And we will have a ludic talk today.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Oh my God, I have this chart in my shoulder. Okay, so I'm Will Lopez. I'm from theater originally, but always working in a transdisciplinary way with dance, art performance, butoh dance, visual art. And now I'm very happy to be here with you all to talk about this topic, because it's a field that I'm really interested to explore more in my next steps of my artwork. And we will have four rounds. For this first round, we would like to invite you to introduce yourself and to talk about something very private. How is your personal relation with artificial intelligence? Secret. Are you playing with, thinking about, working through, or creating by, or something completely new that we could not imagine here? But first, please, you are welcome to introduce yourself and then to talk about your relation with artificial intelligence. And for that, we will have the first game.
Yes.
And for the first game, it's starting.
All of you will roll the dice, and the person with the lowest number is the one who starts the introduction round.
Perfect.
Seven.
It's like visual mathematics.
The sham.
6, 9.
Oh,
I'm scared already.
I think we had the lowest number here. I would like to invite you to restart.
Margarete Jahrmann.
Yeah, that's like a field that I also have. And I said, I'm not only the university. I'm happy also that you mention it. I'm happy that at the University of Applied Arts, we have this experimental game cultures program. I also see some art pieces here from alumni and the student. That is wonderful. Namely, my name out now is her beautiful installation here on a work where I think I can resonate very much because it is about the ludic aspect of that you only can, of cooperation, that you only can play a game together. And she expresses this as a, might it be not only together with different people, but with different entities. Also like microbiome, microbiotics, what is it, a fictional bacteria or is it something from outer space? Also is it an inner or outer state that you touch? And this other non-human being also can be and is AI. And this is also in that piece the case. And this is a very good example for me and for my own practice also to play, introduce play as a method also to critically approach often problematic technology, and something that is relevant in society and very present in society. So this is. I'm happy you speak about the ludic here on this table. I still remember times or session when people were telling me, "Oh, this is not English." Oh, yes, Zach, the English speaker. I don't know if ludic already is English now, but when I was first speaking about the ludic method, people were telling me, what do you want? Is this ludicrous? Are you crazy? This is even not a term. I don't know. Maybe it's not, but we use it. Cool. So this is a little bit what I do. Also trying with by practice creating worlds. Yeah. And so I also have to answer to the question, or is it already answered, or what is your rule, dear Sarah?
We were thinking about how is your relation with artificial intelligence. I think you already
touched upon
because
it.
Because I believe that me, from outside of the field, when I see think about artificial intelligence, I'm thinking about ChatGPT and these platforms, these things that are in the open to use. But you were already talking about this other human or this other...
I said non-human. Which is also a respectful term. I express some respect with that. It's true. Not immediate condemnation, but some respect for it. But it is also can be a problematic relation. And it is a love-hate relation in a way that if you say my personal approach, also I'm loving it because I can see potentials in it. Or something which I can critically address also. So my personal relation is not the, not asking it for future telling or fortune, but for example, to also invert ironically what I do. Also I have had the show actually running, the monkeys, machines and multi-perspectivity shows at the AIL, at the Otto Wagner BSK. I have a AI concept generator when you enter. And it was very funny because I was feeding it with all my funding applications as a like a training for the text. And out of that, it's remixing. As soon as you give your bodily data into it, as you look into it, into the movement, and I have seen other works where I don't remember the name so well of people who are using it here in the show, which is fantastic. That's really up to date. It's really relevant that we connected with this bodily dimension and the data harvesting of your face physiognomy of your movement. It's not only collecting the data what you give in, it's more. I find interesting. So it's a problematic relation. It's complicated, as you say. Often in relation, you say it's complicated.
Yeah.
And it's complicated.
I see. And we will enter in this complicated relation in the next round, and I will love to hear more about. Joanna would like to
Okay, gladly, I can continue.
Thank you.
You were mentioning, Sarah, the complex background of mine, and that's true, because actually it's digital art, but I'm also urban planner and social designer. So there are like many layers overlapping and now being completed with this digital aspect. And here I'm also invited as DigitEyes. So I'm co-grounder of the platform for digital exhibitions or digital performances or digital research. And then I'm also teaching at Visual Culture Department at Architecture Cityverse class. And here I had a pleasure to be part of the selection process of projects. So it's like so beautiful to see them live. I remember them from paper and there are like worlds in between. So it was like a very beautiful run through the exhibition. And then the relationship, like when you were talking about the relationship with AI, I feel it's like a romance that is about to finish, you know, like that I had this fascination being like, wow, AI, okay, ChatGPT, oh my God, it can write a concept from me. And I was like, oh, let's explore this, let's get intimate and more and more and more. And then I started questioning and discovering all these problematic facets. And now I feel we are soon breaking up. This relationship is coming to an end. It's like I really try to limit the prompting amount. And I guess it was actually the turning point, the fact that I was invited by Semmelweis Klinik and Frederic Marokin to curate workshops on AI, where we were inviting like scientists and artists from different backgrounds. And especially while talking with scientists related to AI and ethics, my excitement was like going really down in a very fast tempo. So I guess breakup coming soon.
Okay.
Which medium will you use for the breakup?
Maybe I have to inform it in written form, right? Like SMS breakup.
I don't know.
ChatGPT prompt. Sorry, it's over.
Okay. Thank you.
Sharaj?
Oh, okay. The... as you know, I'm a part of the Das Lot leading team, but I'm a media artist myself, and recently I do more curating, but I would happily go back to make more art. And my background is actually coming from different disciplines. I don't mention much, but it's like I spent enough time in writing TV series scripts back there in my home country. And I actually, my actual background is physics. I never wanted to be a physicist. I wanted to learn physics. And my there's a reason why I'm saying that, because like my connection with AI comes from that as well. I learned physics to understand, to at least to have an opinion about quantum physics. And it's like a kind of everything is randomized. It's not a, not in a playful mode, but to turn into like an how I can use it in art without just like exactly as it is, not as a kind of representation methodology, because it was mid like 2000s, like this scientific approach, like it was a bit mockery somehow, you know, astrology and quantum, the quantum AI is going the same way right now. Everything is AI and it's kind of buzzword. For me right now, I'm working with AI actually on a project about our eco rooms and the post-truth right now. I'm trying to create a local AI and trying to put itself into like a echo room, and it talks to itself. It always like asks to itself and answers the questions, trying to create the craziest conspiracy theory by just talking to itself like nonstop. This is my goal. I don't know how much I can manage that, but I believe AI in art, it doesn't have to be like... It can be hidden, because the democratization of media art started like that. We saw so many revolutions in less than 20 years, I guess. I mean, it reminds me a lot of the Shutterstock. When the Shutterstock first emerged, every photographer in the universe, they hated it. And it's just that right now, it's like this. I'm a text writer, like, and I hate that because it's writing my text. We will learn how to live with it. That's my approach, and also the part of this exhibition, maybe I can talk about it, why it was a question to the artist, how do you see the AI and how do you want to use it? And you can criticize it or you can use it. But if you deny it, doesn't make sense because it's an elephant in the room. I mean, you can deny it. I mean, it reminds me a lot this analog photography to switch to digital photography. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that, I think we experienced that together. Like it was... everybody hated that, like this, you know, that everybody humiliated the people who is using digital photography. There was an era like that. Now, I mean, mm-hmm. it, we have something now. It's that things are changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see that. It's a bit more complex question, more gives more anxiety to everyone. I understand that, but I also think we can coexist in a way, or we can hack it, basically. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, in theory, we are in the end of the first round, that is about self-presentation and relation with artificial intelligence. But I would like to open a little bit more of space in this round, because we still have one chair open. Mm-hmm. And this mm-hmm. chair open, we would like to introduce a rule or a game often in this talking that is about the gate. I have here a card that is the gate. Mm-hmm. And when you want people that is around us, you can enter in this gate. You can just take the card or I want to use this card. And this is the first moment that you can use to enter in the gate, to sit in the chair, to present yourself and to talk about your relation with artificial intelligence. For this, you have 3 minutes. And when is missing 1 minute, I will show you a yellow card. And after 3 minutes, red card. So spontaneously, someone would like to take this card from my hand.
What's it?
Yes, please.
Join. Oh.
Introduce you yourself.
Very interesting concept. I wondered what this empty chair was all about, because this is such a nice round. Hello, my name is Victor.
Hello.
Well, I think to directly answer the question, I think for me personally, I think AI is making many things. It's I think what was missing is it's connecting the dots. It's simply so easy for AI to connect the dots. So while we have to dig in our minds and remember or at first spend time to learn stuff, it's directly connecting all the dots. So for me, this makes creative work very, but not only creative work like writing, but also of, let's say, logistics management styles or optimizations in any kinds of work process. So in the end, AI can just connect the things that we know. And mm-hmm. it's, I think the interesting relationship that I have with AI is I'm a teacher. not only for like youth, but also for grown-ups. I teach them German. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's not about what you know, but how do you get asked the right things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to have the answers to the things that you don't know that you need to know? Mm. And AI is such an, at least for now as I see it, is such a one-way thing where we ask and ask, and we are kind of going into our own rabbit hole in the end with, and it's very elaborate with it, while maybe it is some input that instead we would need.
Do you work with art and the artificial intelligence in your work?
Not with art per se, but I work with it on a very daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
I use it to prepare texts, short mm-hmm. summaries about countries with follow-up questions,
mm-hmm.
because that is what my students get asked.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I know what to ask it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool how you say that you use it now, because your students get you teach them German.
Not only I work at the mm-hmm. Jugendcollege, which is very popular,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
getting big right now because it's the youth between 17 and 25.
Yeah,
who get like a basic school education in German, English, maths, but also like sociology and biology.
I found this so super interesting, and it's very strategically how you use the AI complement for that, because the AI knows what they are asked. And that's a very good point, how you use it. Sorry, I'm a bit quiet. My voice went on. But
I bet the other teachers are asking it too.
Yeah. Not because it's the mediocre, it's the middleware. That's the very smart. And that's a point, you need to use it very smartly. Mm-hmm. Because the other thing would be
Of course. Yeah.
Devil question.
I did not know the rules.
No, I don't know the rules before. I just
invented
some
reflection.
No, no
play here.
I accept the rules.
You had the game, and now we have the devil card.
Do you think it is still possible to learn languages with AI? Because we have AI, do we need to? We could speak any babelfish in the ear, you know?
Mm. This is a very legit question, I do think. I mean, we could all be like Star Trek and have those hidden translators with us. But I think it would be robbing you of something, to be honest. I think it was good, told it was good, but it was somebody else who said, like, with every language, you get a new soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very true, because it's like words are filled with emotion, with history.
We shouldn't give our souls away and try to have as many as we can.
I think for a practical reason, yes. I mean, I don't need to learn like Japanese for a business meeting or a call or something like that. But if I want to like get into the being, into the culture.
You are a poet too?
Some would say so.
In this game.
I think this is already related with our next round, that is about the transition of ludic territories to artificial territories.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to introduce? Thank you so much for your participation.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Should I make room for...
As you like. I mean, our rule that we prepared was for every round, we will roll the dice again. And if it has an uneven number, then an artist can take the chair, because artists are edgy, so the uneven number. Or if it's an even number, some of the audience can come. But who is an artist and who is audience? We don't know. You can cheat. If you can't win the game, change the rules.
You can decide yourself.
Yeah, you can decide yourself. So would you be okay with closing the gate for now and open it again?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For your invite.
Come back.
There's one out for the boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second round.
Second round, please. Thank you. Okay, I will roll the dice. It's a 4, an even number. Who thinks or perceives themselves as audience and would like to join the second round? I see someone.
Okay.
Welcome. What's your name?
I represent the audience.
Hello, audience.
Hello. I'm little. Some of you know me already.
Yeah.
Some of you know me much more than others, but
Welcome in this round. Hello. And the second round, we want to dive in, so I will perhaps get the magician. Mm-hmm. I want to go deeper in this question of ludic, because you, Marietta, also began with what is it? What is this term? And before we go deeper, I wanted to ask Chadash, because you are the curator of this year's edition, and you were the curator of last year's edition. And last year it was ludic territories, and now it's artificial territories.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what I hear from all of you, like, also ludic is a very big playground. So why adding artificial intelligence for that?
Should I start?
Yes.
Okay.
Start.
First of all, I have to say, I mean, the Margarita was a big influence for me to when I was thinking about ludic territories. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think... I will make a bold statement about it. I was really tired of being a passive person in the during an exhibition. Then it was like, okay, why don't we do a completely exclusively interactive and playful exhibition? And it doesn't have to be like the why don't we invite all audience to be part of the artwork, or like a, they are the artwork, like it can be anything. So it was a bit open-ended, open call. And I have to tell, like, it was also for the many artists, it was so, they didn't get the idea. What is this? What does it mean exclusive? Thank you. What does it mean exclusively interactive artworks? I'm like, okay. It was so strange to me, like, to explain everyone, even like the artists from the media art scene, new media art scene, like the, it was, okay, the whole exhibition is going to be just interactive artworks? Yes. And then we called it ludic territories. Then we, they, then artificial territories evolved into like, again, it was a bit like a big step forward because the AI became a kind of buzzword right now. You put everywhere and it really annoys me so much. Mm-hmm. So the end, because I've been through that thing when I was studying physics, it was quantum physics everywhere. And it's exactly mm-hmm. going to the same place. Quantum blah, blah, quantum blah, blah. Now it's like machine learning, blah, blah, AI, blah, blah. And actually, I mean, mm-hmm. if you remember what I'm talking about, 2000s, mm-hmm. then that it felt like, okay, we can use AI. Actually, we wanted to use this word in the text, like how to use AI without being an a-hole, you know, just like the, how do you use it, like ethically correct, or like you can hack it, you can, how do you approach to this topic? So we wanted to make it open-ended and put the call, actually it's also, it was a thing, okay, if people are going to understand what we are asking, we didn't want just AI works, we just say you can use AI, because this is a big topic right now, like the, when you're using AI, they're like, whoa, it's like, this is a thing.
I would like to take the dev.
Thank you.
My question is, this connection or relation between AI and media art is really something interesting, or this is something to put in the project to take some money? You mean, as you said, now is AI everywhere. Mm-hmm. If my project that it doesn't have AI, probably I will not get money. So this is the focus now, but in the end, this is really something interesting. I see here already, but I wanted to ask you.
I mean, I think we need to ask this questions to the institutions, mm-hmm. not to us, like the, mm-hmm. Because like when you're reading, I'm not going to give names, but when you're reading the even the fundings and all over the world, the, all the fundings are written in by AI, because then you recognize directly that the person who writes this text doesn't know anything about AI. And it asks to AI to write an open call like the, about AI fundings, mm-hmm. then you, when you read it, but it's so amusing. I love it. Don't get me wrong, because yeah. that means like, hey, we want to learn it. You know, it will take time. This is like exactly, it's a learning thing. I'm not criticizing or something, but this will, it will take time, like basically. So what we are doing here is an experiment. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is, I believe in that we are just, everybody is like collectively pioneering something here. We will, we are shaping the AI right now. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. like, this is what I believe actually.
Yep. What I think what makes the exhibition acceptable from that suggestion, what you said about AI is a money-making machine, is mm-hmm. that it's a question. The others use it as a foundation to get funding. And I have a nice story I can tell with a startup bro dude who actually told me his business idea in this network session I've been. And it came that he talked about an AI tool for blah, blah, blah. I didn't listen. And and how important that is and blah, blah, blah. And then I asked just the question, how are you gonna afford that? And I think he said something that there is an investor because they do AI. And then, yeah, so in the end, I just said I need a drink and turned my body 180 degrees. And I just realized that it was just buzzword for this person mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. he looked more like he would use a milkshake to pump up his muscles, and maybe that would be a better business idea for him. So, yeah, I heard the last few days in this startup scene, in this startup event, a lot of these buzzwords and from really different people. And I realized that nobody is questioning it. And that's why I love this exhibition. What I really have to go through again, because it's asking a question, you know, and there are really weird answers, and maybe you don't even understand the answer because it's trying to talk with you and makes bubble bubble. But I like this kind of questioning, and this is where art comes into place, and this is where a human brain actually can answer. And even if you put it into ChatGPT and will try to answer it to yourself, it's still something which is actually working in your perspective as a human being. And that's why I really like this exhibition in comparison to the buzzy words around the art scene and other scenes.
Thank you.
And maybe a quick point, because I really like all what you said, and I feel even it provides some answers, like not all of the project, but like with some project I feel like, okay, there is this answer, I don't know, like building community around it, or like what you said, like hacking, like I see there are some hints.
But it's also funny.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, okay, this AI just does this and it makes it no sense. And then I use this as a form. And that makes actually fun. It's not like, oh, I'm scared because I'm an illustrator and I can't, I won't have a job anymore. And what I quoted Margarete in that, just use the tool, play around with it and fail. And then she wrote me back, because it was this young woman with an illustrator, and she wrote me back, oh, I tried it and it's so cool. And then, I was like, it's just that, you know, it's not the invisible hand who is actually controlling us. It's just us with a big bunch of data, which is mostly bullshit. Sorry.
No, it's really a very sharp observation that we have from the audience representative to him. It's a very sharp observation with the buzzwords. And also, I fully agree also to the point that you mentioned here, and also Johanna, you said, here you really touch answers. And even more important, like in the work of tech with the cuckoo calls here. I mean, this is so radically absurd already. It shows you that you only need a very short glimpse of a voice to generate a voice. And then he becomes totally absurd. He makes, transports a huge steel, or I don't know what it is, metal wall, to make the speaker. I didn't hear it, but I can imagine it's then louder and over-exaggerating it. And so, it, as you said, some answers, but it poses the right questions. For me, also, and that is so important. And this you don't hear very often in kind of affirmative events, as you mentioned. Thank you for that contributions also to the artists here present in the room.
And what I change?
I think I said a lot. I will just continue making jokes. That's why I thought.
Okay. Perfect. That's your position now. Audience is making jokes.
Feel free to open the gate again if you want, when you want. Oh, good.
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay, continue.
I wanted to bring this term of ludic again, because we are talking about the playfulness and like this very specific way this exhibition tries to get a grip or a framework for AI also. But is this thing that you described now, is this a ludic moment? Or because I struggle with the term, like, what do you really mean by it coming from outside? Is it playfulness, or is it being brave, or is it, what is it, this ludic feeling?
Can I draw a card to answer?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. You would like to choose one of this or more?
I need one more.
More.
Yeah. You not the normal rules. Yeah. I need another card.
Would you like something more like really magic and deep in this field? Or wow. Let's go. Let's go. Take a card. Wow.
structure.
Wow.
Oh no.
The card is.
Yeah, please tell.
Pleasure.
Ooh.
Oh. Now we're talking.
I love it. I love it.
That's exactly it, right?
How did this happen? Magic. Magic or cheating?
No, cheating. That's I pure magic. That's real magic.
Yes.
That's really the magic circle of play. Thank you.
No, yes. Thank you.
It was not me. It was, not me. It's always like in play. It was,
Of course, of course. Big pleasure. It's magic. It's more than us, I would say. No? When from this, would like to comment this pleasure and the ludic.
Right.
Yeah, many things around, of course.
It's better not to speak about the others.
we can explore this round a little bit more, but I think in front of a magic path, we have everything, and also touching deep the question that is not just to go on the surface of the thing, but to criticize entering the political. Mm. A place of this area, no? And one of the things that we were talking about was about democracy and AI. So when I take the you see, the card
was
the around
left
the
card. Yeah. I didn't show it to you. It was the left card, ruin.
Ruin.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because first there is this thing that, oh, nice, I can open my computer, enter in these platforms that from now I don't use names anymore, but to say, wow, I'm free, I can use this for free, and I can use these things to help, da, 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 da. But is this really free, or this is just one more strategy too of domination and violence?
Mm-hmm. And perhaps also
talk
to,
about democracy,
to keep this path of playing. Who is writing the rule book, and who is allowed to change the rules? Who is allowed to cheat?
Mm-hmm. That's a bold one.
I think it's a class question.
Mm-hmm. Class?
Yeah, class. Mm-hmm. It's not about color. It's not about racism. It's about class. It's mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. who has the first information and money, and
exactly.
who is not. Yeah. And we are materials for.
Of course.
What the rules are really. That's the problem, that the historic data is used, which you can't. If you made a mistake to play with it, often players give unwilling consent mm-hmm. to other things very often, as I speak now about the standard games world, etc. And this is very problematic. But also when you are using your phone and looking into mm-hmm. it and proving not to be the robot, this is known. No?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a problem that the historic data is used mm-hmm. and also maybe also reused and reused again.
Mm-hmm.
And you were asking before, it's the first card anyway you put it, when we had the left card,
mm-hmm.
was then here for me, this, I was redrawing it exactly now. Mm-hmm. And this is the ruins words.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a sword, and this means that democracy is under attack. It doesn't mean total mm-hmm. ruin. We shouldn't mm-hmm. read it so direct.
Mm-hmm.
I want to remain optimistic, but definitely it is spared an under attack in that consensus mm-hmm. because of the, I think, mainly the materiality of the problem of AI, of data and of the data harvesting and of the data reiteration and reuse. Mm-hmm. And as you said, then it really gets into problems. If you use the classical terms of class, the problem is that class is not so much existing anymore, which is a sort of problem because it's then difficult to organize. Yeah? There is not so
it's
much.
It's more hidden in the Western Europe.
More hidden,
yes. I mean,
yes.
In other countries, maybe not, but in West, it's
Yeah, because pretty I much. Think we need to organize also in a way. That's the point. But I feel it's more difficult to organize if, as long as there is no.
Yeah, probably clear. I'm not so sure.
Doesn't stop. Swear it again.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But it was a very interesting answer that you point us to the social and so mm-hmm. democratic. It mm-hmm. needs And so it's everywhere that the democratic principles are under attack, mm-hmm. not only in a specific local area. Autocrats are around us in Europe, mm-hmm. in as a very close all, if you look Hungary, and the U.S. becomes an autocracy, I'm mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, it already is what is happening there. To speak bluntly, we are only on a halt, I have to say, here locally. So it's very important that we think about that in relation. And it's tied maybe that, in fact, thanks for the question mm-hmm. that you both had, Tara, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. as well, to the question of democracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 I have so many thoughts to add, so I will be very chaotic, just like throwing this.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Because I was listening, and like you said, the price, mm-hmm. and I feel we all pay the price, like with giving our data away, mm-hmm. because like data is this new capital that perhaps it's like in interest of many companies or entities or tech companies, not that we don't realize it, mm-hmm, that we actually like give away extremely valuable information that are then being processed and they make huge profit out of it. And I think this is even like jumping to this background of urban planning and mm-hmm. architecture, it's extremely visible like with platform urbanism that mm-hmm. that like these tech companies that are shaping our realities, our mm-hmm. urban realities, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. Uber doing then city planning for City of Lisbon. There are endless examples mm-hmm. of it, like all these scooters as well, collecting data and then someone else profit from it. And mm-hmm. maybe back in the days it was state. I think mostly now these big companies are equally important or even more. I think they have more capital accumulated than many of the states, actually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the aspect of democracy, I'm terrified, because we have actually on Sunday presidential elections in Poland, and I really hope not a big fuck-up will happen, but it's totally on the go. Mm-hmm, and I think due to partly as well TikTok platform, mm-hmm. thank you, TikTok, wow. your support, right-wing, mm-hmm. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And of course, not only like Instagram is also contributing, but the social media platform is insane. Totally.
Hello, Instagram.
Hello, Instagram.
Thank you.
Is that live?
Yes.
Oh. How many people we have?
No more.
One harvest. That's the problem, little. Yeah, I know. I have also my tan classes. So.
I by the way, love it. The cat ears on your glass.
You should put the ears on, then it doesn't recognize you.
When you get stuff. Like,
yeah, it's too hot now.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it was a perfect interruption.
it just agreed so much with this fear that we really share in a
big
way.
Big fear. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like ChatGPT, for example, to mm-hmm, bring this mm-hmm. aspect about costs as well. Mm-hmm. I've recently been terrified at the lecture relating AI to military technologies, mm-hmm. what is also very relevant for looking on the Eastern Europe, but not only, everywhere on the world, mm-hmm. that like the usage of AI in military will cost such a huge amount of energy, water, mm-hmm. and like influencing like our planet, not only, of course, human lives, but mm-hmm. non-human lives, it's just beyond the capacities. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So with this democracy, the swords, I can pass this further to you.
I have also some words to I mean, I can...
It's the military complex. No?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I liked what you said. It's a class question. It reminds me something. I had a very naive idea when the first like actual smart devices started to go out. It was like 2004, 2003. Mm-hmm. Everybody has access to internet with the mobile devices. Everybody learned languages and everybody started to learn like geography. Like I was believing in that. So it's like mm-hmm. a typical naive millennial like mm-hmm. that. I believed in this. Mm-hmm. Then I just realized people are with these smart devices. Like they started to do stupid stuff and I liked it. You know, like this was more fun and more playful. I mean, we are at that era, I guess. Like it's always like I find it so funny. They have exactly the same model phone, and one person is doing like a LiDAR scanning with this, for example, that they have this phone and they're making LiDAR scanning tons of different things. Other person is just watching TikTok with exactly the same device, exactly mm-hmm. the same data plan, and exactly the same capabilities. Mm-hmm. Then it comes to the question, How do we use it? It's just how we are going to use it, how we're going to decide to, hey, it has this capacity. Are you even aware of that device can do that? Or like that software can achieve that or something like that? Then I ask that questions to me, like, why are people using it, this software, hardware, mm-hmm. like that? I mean, we are using exactly the same thing, mm-hmm. but they do different things. What I'm scared of, like the when you said it gives me a kind of like a, when they started to use it for security and this kind of stuff, we will have a kind of like a minority report, like a world, and it gives me a bit chills, because I always see this kind of things as a who holds the death switch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the AI decides to meet, I'm a threat. Like mm-hmm. randomly, because this is never perfect. It's always the percentage, right?
Mm-hmm.
In physics, we have this thing. We never say equals.
Mm-hmm.
You can never put on the maths. In math, they do that. Mm-hmm. In physics, you can never put equal.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
If you do that, you don't do that. You means like circa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I'm like 0.001% wrong, like then AI considers me as a threat or something like that. It doesn't have to be a death switch, but I'm a skeptical person as a former physicist, let's mm-hmm. say. And then I believe in exceptions, and AI will always stay in an exception. There will be always a glitch, or I don't know if it's clear what I'm trying to say. There will be always the 0.001%, and it mm-hmm. can be really big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there are powers misusing that.
Mm. No. Or misinterpreting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we are arriving the moment to start the next round, mm-hmm. following the same path and flow.
Yeah.
Would you like to? Or should I?
Would you?
Yeah.
You can. Okay.
Yeah.
But perhaps I would suggest to open the gate again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will roll the dice.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Again, even.
Oh.
I will do it again. 3 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8. Even.
Wow, who thought about it?
We need to embrace.
Audience, artistic audience, perhaps. If you can't win the game, change the rules.
Yes, please. Come.
Someone, come here. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Again. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm Zach, for those who don't know. Yes, I'm representing the artistic audience today.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And perhaps, I don't know, I had this question in mind, perhaps it's naive, but we are in this scenario of anxiety and threat. And I mean, we are sitting at this table, we are all artists. So what to do? What is our...
Mm-hmm.
What can we do actually? Because I think it's nice to have these wonderful spaces where we meet and we speak about it and we ask questions. But then I always have this point of saying, okay, but when are we, or which action can we actually take mm-hmm. that will have an effect, like mm-hmm. that will have a consequence?
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with this question would be my question.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, what actions can we take to say, yeah, we have a say in this. We are also a class. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who wants to start?
I think, as usual, one of the main responsibilities that we have is to explore these tools and be on the edge of the fringe of these emerging tools that come out and use them to bring awareness, because quite often they're kept quite in the dark. These are machine learning and recognition, which is mainly used for to generate capital to track people where we like it or not, these like motion tracking, image face recognition, which have such malicious uses that can be used for that, but it's so fun to see artists using them for such silly projects sometimes of tracking you around a room to like have emojis on you or anything like that. Or I like to use like the voice cloning as a thought that needed awareness coming of it, that anyone can, off a phone call, off a few words from you, can have an almost perfect replica of your voice. And so mm-hmm. I think raising awareness was really in getting the word out there. And how just have people thinking along the narrative of that these tools exist, and even I can do it, and anyone can do it really, and can come and so just keep awareness and keep alert that these are out there. So yeah, I think awareness was the main thing for me. I think it's what artists should be doing with their platform and their power.
Thank you.
Just for our audio, could you repeat your name, and because you are one of the artists that are exhibiting this,
yes.
And to tell the name of your...
Yeah, of course, sorry, I was a bit far away from the microphone, but my name is Zach Hill, and I'm exhibiting Cuckoo Calls at this amazing show right here. If you're on the live stream, it's just to your left, but yeah, I'm sure you can find it on the Instagram.
Thank you so much. Chalash, or some of you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What to do?
Oh. I think there are many things we can do. Like what I noticed as well, because scientists and scholars have been talking about this since really long time, like the dangers of AI or like different dangers and potentials. Mm-hmm. But very often these voices stay in the conference rooms, and what artists have as a power is maybe building bridges and mm-hmm. translating some certain mechanism or elements to the wider audience in a certain like visual way that might approach more people. And I think it's a power and responsibility. So it's good to use this in a sensible or like aware way, in my opinion. What artists can always do is step out from museums, like go into public space, like mm-hmm. use the participatory methodologies, use play also with the non-art interested audience, because like especially like the play elements enable incorporating bigger amount of people and confronting them with this question. And I even think it's beautiful that you were inviting a school class to this mm-hmm. exhibition, like get more people confronted with this. And then what artists can always do is like the hacking the systems. Hackers can do it, of course, even better, but mm-hmm. maybe collaboration. So kind of like find an underground ways like to question this technology that perhaps can lead to certain empowering or like reclaiming. I mean, it's impossible to fully reclaim the platforms, like we cannot dismantle them, but building our alternative bottom-up mm-hmm. platforms could be mm-hmm. challenging the system. And I think with technology, it is particularly complex because of a high exclusivity of the medium, even like on a financial level skill-wise level. So then perhaps it's even more important like to have more artists like reclaiming these spaces or digital spaces. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm sure more will come. Ideas.
Yeah. Would you like to?
Also, we have like two different things. Also, because I listened to Zach and I talked about your work before, and you said it's very accessible in a way. And on the other hand, Johanna is right; it's also not accessible if you consider the resources. Even it's really depending on where you are located, and it doesn't need the big access. It's accessible in a way, absolutely, but also not accessible in other terms when you come to the sources or the materiality. This is problematic. And the piece you did, not everybody can do, which is in a way also fully legitimate, also because you choose especially the iron stuff that you brought here. Not everybody can do that. I don't know the term, what it is, schweißen. It's not...
Welding, maybe.
Welding, yeah. They're not mm-hmm. soldering. I only know the small dimension. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, but that's mm-hmm. cool to connect it to this haptic physical world. That's mm-hmm. also something mm-hmm. that Johanna introduced. Now, to mm-hmm. go out into the urban space, into the public, into other materialities, mm-hmm. might it be the body or might it be a physical artifact that connects it? Because I think with this element of touch and physicality, we are mm-hmm. more able to feel or grasp some, as you have in your work, vibrations of what is implemented there. When it's vibrating and becoming big, then it's more. But still remains what point? I mean, what can we do Probably this goes already into the next question, because I always ask the cards to help me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what can we do? As I was, the next card I was drawing was the Knight of Cups, no? Mm-hmm. As a good, we cannot put, that was your materiality, that's the just the iron. Mm-hmm. But that's not a solution. More interesting is for me also, it has a cup, and this is one of the problem of the accessibility. So if you think, it's not so accessible, if you think about the problems because of the lithium mining and the devastating things, and this is the background for all that, be it accessible or not, that's very problematic. And even today I talked with a colleague of mine with whom I performed in Belgrade. The student protests are at this moment so intense for these reasons of lithium mining. This is in the background, and that's hardly discussed. That's hardly discussed here. We don't see it so much in the middle of Europe, yeah? That is really a problem. And the students at Art Academy there in Belgrade don't go to, they demonstrate in 6 months. Yeah, they don't have any, which is a problem for everybody, also for them. Yeah, but there's no solution. And it is because of these resources that are asked by Germany, by Western countries for the lithium requirement. So it's not very, very far away. It's very close. And this materiality, this is what you were triggering also with your artist audience in the round. It was for me a question. That it's also a rare earth, like the iron or other. But sorry for this detour, but it touched me so much.
Sure. I know.
It was so urgent today, this conversation.
Yeah. Shadash.
Well, it always reminds me the back then that when we were searching on Google, like, how do I do this? It reminds me always this, like, the years ago in Vienna, and specifically there was a kid is radicalized, like, in 13 years old, and looked at how to make a bomb, and the bomb in this Westbahnhof. And I know, because like the teacher of that kid, I came along at one point, then I learned like how the person got radicalized like that, and it reminds me that it can be like if you want to go to that way, then I think the scaring away from that is like a kind of interesting. It comes to the same question. We have the same devices, but we use completely different. Again, you have exactly the same access to the AI. What you write there, it comes from like a bigger thing, what you learn from the others, or like what kind of cultural context you're in, or like what is your background. You have an access to like to this like a little part, and you write something there, and you give an answer, right? It comes back to that question. You cannot stop this. It's there. Like what are you gonna do? I always think at home myself, like how do I? Then it goes into censorship, because of the nature of the AI. Like then, when you block the one part of this AI, then it will get dumber automatically, because you're gonna say, don't say anything about like the drugs are gonna make you kill instantly. Then you cut this out from this like, whole cortex, like then it will never connect the points at this point, because it's not there anymore. So like then you're making it dumber is not going to make it less dangerous. That's what I believe. But I'm still like asking questions to myself, like how I'm going to do that without going into censorship. Because then it raises the second question, censorship. How can you censor an AI? Because I remember in the ChatGPT, when it first came, it was way more clever. Like it was like given like a way more, more humane answers. Like that, I remember we even made a kind of like in 2022, we made a project like the, and it was a fun cooking project in Berlin. I literally put the projector. It was like putting the AI in, and it was like free. Speech to text system. It was not that advanced back then, like in the first time, And it was basically people were asking, what is the difference between a politician and an eggplant? You know, this kind of question. So it evolved itself. It started to create a poem out of it at the end of the exhibition. But you can ask anything to this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it can write, there was this experiment of Microsoft back then. I think in the Twitter years ago, they allowed the people to train the bot, and at the end, people wrote something like Hitler did nothing wrong, and it was tweeting from the Microsoft's account. This, I mean, they will find a way. Everybody will find a way. This is, I think, we are coming from the ethical and the like. It's exactly like after the nuclear bomb, like there's a science philosophy. Like got advanced. Now we will have a kind of like a philosophy around it. The question is, who's gonna be the pioneer of that, right? Mm-hmm. It's an open-ended answer.
Yeah, but for me it's also the question, because now you're talking about the AI, but for me it's always the question, what is it? Is it a tool? And in the end, it's human questions we need to ask. Mm-hmm. Or are we already in a state where there is this kind of non-human actor and we have a relationship with this non-human actor, or are we still having very problematic relationships and dominance between human actors who can use or not use or manipulate the tool, which then manipulate the people? Mm-hmm. So that would be really interesting to hear from you. What is it? Is it a tool or is it a subject? Because there I'm a bit, for me, for me it's not a subject, it's a tool, and the problems behind it are human problems, not artificial problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it kind of comes from the data it's trained on, and so I feel, although it is definitely a tool and can be used as a tool, there's something for, as any machine, which like I feel like it's so easy to humanize with a machine, like with your Roomba, with your car and that kind of thing, but this machine has been trained on purely human data. All the text it's ever read has been human-generated text. Mm-hmm. So whether, almost we like to admit it or not, there is something inherently human about this machine we've made. All it's ever, all the information it holds is generated by humans, and so it has a human touch for it, whether we like to admit it or not, on the ethical implications that raises of it being human-related in some sense. But yes, I guess it kind of, yes, the training, the data where it gets all its information from, I guess at the moment these kind of these big companies are just taking everything they can from every source possible and just shoving it all in and seeing, hoping it gets better and better. Mm-hmm. Obviously they do pre-training, after training and fine-tuning and all that, but so much of the information comes from, and it could come from anywhere, so any views get picked up and pulled out of this big melting pot. And like you said, that having to, because what they go afterwards and they cut away at those parts, which isn't like, and it's quite a rough process and makes it less intelligent by just cutting out large chunks. Once we've run out of human data to train on, it's starting to train itself. It's how can we, I don't know, I guess, can we control it? Do we control it? At what point is it, once it's no longer been trained in human data, are they crossing over from something human based to something entirely else, something other than us, which is
I remember this project that it must have been like 3 or 5 years ago at the Art Biennale in Venice. It was about like two machines that started communicating in the language that the humans could not anymore recognize, and it was not planned and out of span. So the first thing what humans did, they disconnected the machines. And I think it's a trouble that humans definitely created, like all the algorithms and the structures and how the machines were building and learning and deep learning and spreading it, and a certain point we'll be confronted with next stages of it. So definitely like the human is the source, and it was not having enough attention, or maybe it was even having an attention. I feel now we are much more aware, but these processes are since many years like going on. Even maybe you can track it back to 60s, and it was like not addressed properly. And I think with this aspect of censorship, I was thinking a lot about regulations too. Because I must say, like, I'm planning since really long time to finally leave this Telegram application that is also like a very old aspect and topic of the how much you give a freedom for use it or the platform and you don't over-regulate this internet. But then what is the side effect and what is this platform enabling from human trafficking to all the other organized activities? And of course, it's like a humans that do it at the end. It's like not AI organizing human trafficking, but this tool enables it much easier on a much bigger scale and much more efficient because AI is extremely efficient and perfect in its own ways. So yeah, that's the intriguing part for me.
So you brought in what you brought in was then more, so we had this with the censorship thing now and but it's interesting, this historic dimension also, not from the dialogues on the social media one to each other. And could you mention your point again a little bit or sum it up again? I think there was...
I was kind of saying that although it's a tool, they're very inherently human. Because it's pure, only human data that it's been trained on.
Genau. And I think, thank you, Sarah, it was a very, very interesting question. What is it? Is it a tool or you say the subject? Tool? This is a very important question also. Yeah. Because I want to take it up also, just with a very short sentence also. I also don't think for me it is a tool. It's not a tool for me either, but it's not a hammer, but it is the iron. It should be the iron as artist. It's better to use it as a materiality also. Be honest, the shift of the metaphor a little bit. Okay. Sure, with the subject, I always can agree. But that it's not necessarily, you say it, but
Yeah, for me, it's not a subject. But sometimes I have the feeling in the discussion.
And I even would say it's even not a tool or shouldn't only be a tool. Yeah. It should be a critical materiality to a boulder. Did I learn a word today? No. Schweißen heißt was? Boulder. Solder.
Welding.
Welding.
Welding, yes.
Welding. A welding.
Thank you. Good. Okay.
Maybe we go to our less round.
Yeah, and perhaps you open this it also hole. A little bit.
I'll close the gate then.
Okay, thank you so much, Zach.
Thank you.
Yeah, perhaps I rolled the dice last time.
The last round.
Last round to play. Softly. We were so serious now. Okay. I also can't read this designer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11!
Finally.
An even number! Finally. Oh, wow. I was too loud for the microphone. Sorry to the podcast listeners.
You woke up the audience.
And there, I feel some energy. Come. An artist.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, I'm Navid.
Hi.
I think I know all three speakers, some a bit more. Maybe, but yeah, I will be a future student actually under Margareta at the Experimental Game Cultures program.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great.
Maybe you could start this round telling us after to hear all of these things, because the last round is logout. Is to somehow to say how you feel after to hear all of it, how are your thoughts and how is the feeling? I don't know.
General feeling.
Open. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think my personal attitude towards the whole AI topic is maybe more similar to Johanna. I'm still very skeptical about it. I've used it from time to time. I think it's very good when there is something that needs to be optimized. But I feel like when you actually let it to create, then it's like where all the like problems kind of coalesce and just like come together. But I feel like for optimization reasons, it's helped me a lot. But I try actually objectively to not use it too much because I think it would make things too easy. And I kind of like some things being difficult. Like I like to learn. I like to kind of be challenged in a way. But I think it's definitely has its potential. One thing that I was wondering now, because this aspect of like humanity and like the human input was mentioned, I was thinking, how do you think the perception of AI would be different if instead of this immaterial digital like input, it would be an actual person that everybody had followed them around? How do you think people would react if instead of something you click on your phone, there was always somebody following you, coming with you everywhere, always tracking all your data? I feel like when you actually put it like that, if you actually see it as an entity, because we said that the input is obviously very human, if everybody has had their own AI butler, if you actually gave it a material.
It feels more like God, whom I don't to be present all the time.
Am I the butler or is the AI the butler? Who is serving who? I was wondering how the perception of it would be different, so we actually give it the human form. So yeah, that was just something that came to mind.
Nice.
And would it be trained solely by the individual data of their person?
I think the input is definitely from the person, but the output is from the hive mind in a way. No? I feel like that's how it works right now.
I think the therapist will have a great loads of jobs after this is introduced. Like, we will freak out.
Yeah, because I think nobody would actually consider it the outlook would differ much more.
I find it very interesting what you said. The learning is not going to be a thing at one point if it goes like this. Because I remembered something. A friend of mine who is teaching at the master class of the data science. And as a kind of like a final task, and she wanted to try something new. And she gave a kind of like create a problem and find a solution for a problem as a data scientist. And turns out like one of the students showed up with the work. It says like it created a problem of economy of Russia and then solely used the AI. And the result was like Russia is a booming economy. I mean, when you're reading the numbers and everything, AI created this whole Python codes and everything. Like, okay. But in reality, is it booming economy? It's not. Like then it turns out that the five or the four students, they brought a model. It's like working, but it's in a reality. It has nothing to do with the reality, actually. Is it working? Yes. Is it real? I don't know. Is it correct? I don't know. Is it working? Yeah. I mean, that's the question, I guess. Like if you know about the politics a bit, just like if you don't consider yourself as like, I have absolutely no idea about like social politics of the whole world, you will say, okay, this data is correct because everything looks amazing. But just like step back and look at it and it's complete crap data, right? It's like basically. And I found it very interesting because who's going to say this is not correct?
Yeah. I think it's like the correlation causation.
Yeah, right. This makes no sense. Like, who's gonna be the person? That doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somehow, because this machine has commented smart promise, and as well what you were speaking, I feel that there is some relation of AI and desires that perhaps like it's projecting some desires or reacting to some desires of humans. Therefore, maybe it's so easy to misuse and find these data sets like as a promise or fake promise or, I don't know, theoretical promise.
Would you like to? No. Yes, I can. Maybe we could go like a fast round of a logout to say the last words for this meeting, but I would like to also to comment how it was for me, and that what I felt very interesting, because I came to talk about AI, artificial intelligence,
And I see that our talking was about human being. No, we were talking about us. It's not about algorithm or machines, and then we were talking about us. And this is the point of the pleasure, because pleasure is something that comes in the body, from our senses. And our senses are connected by meeting, connections. And this is a proposal, being together and grow together. And for me, this meeting was this for me. This meeting to understand us, to talk about us, and not our something artificial or this place. This is a surprise for me, for the meeting, and a very, very good surprise. And I really have now with me the idea that this is the material, not the tool. This was like, wow. Yeah. I like it. This is a material, because and then become in this ludic path and the pleasure become just one more card to play. Is a material. Is this just one thing that we are playing with in this moment, and maybe in the next day, as was quantum physics 10 years ago, now will be the next another thing, no? And yes, I'm very happy, and thank you so much for all of your contributions and collaborations, and to be connected in this meeting. But I would like to open, if you would like to also to comment or last words.
I think it was a really nice summary also for me. I also will go out with this term of materiality. But for me, it also poses more questions even. How does this change our relationship to each other and this material? Because it doesn't solve the problem of domination or accessibility. But it's another point of view still. So perhaps it can help also with these other questions, maybe in the future. And I would really like to open up these discussions more even to different people. I feel that would, for me, the next step, because we have some knowledge, some knowledge. And I really found it super interesting that our first guest was someone from a completely other area. And I think to strengthen, wow, my English is flying away. To have this more and this discussions between people from really different areas, because this is something so political, urgent now, because this is missing, I think. And if we say also AI connect the dots, but it's a material and we are behind it, so perhaps we need to enable this connecting the dots and not say this will do it for us, but we need to do it ourselves with it, perhaps. I don't know. But thank you so much. I enjoyed it really, really.
Last words to say bye or words to say bye and to thanks.
I would like to say a small bye. I think we first of all, thank you all for being here. It was a really pleasure to talk about it, and thank you, Will, thank you, Sarah, and also behind the scenes we have many people here like the contributed a lot to Artificial Territories. It wouldn't be possible without their contributions too. I want to thank you to whole team here. And again, I'm really happy that this is happening. And one more thing, I think we are at the phase of asking questions. Nobody has the answers yet. And we are pioneering it right now as collectively, that we will ask the correct questions at one point, then we can think about the answers, I guess. This is my feeling about it.
Thank you.
I just say some quick words there. Thank you very much, everyone. It was very eye-opening, I think. Just very interesting to see the different like applications, the different attitudes, and also, like you said, the first guest. I think it was such a unique perspective that I think people who are like maybe in the field themselves maybe don't have that much of, or like it's, there is always like this bit of a barrier. But it was really, really interesting to listen to and just like just to think about the politics, the social aspect, potentials overall. Yeah. So yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just can add thank you, Vic, to you, and I really enjoyed the way how you were moderating and that the cards were speaking and they were speaking really interesting stuff in the moment. So let's believe in the game.
I only can add to this and also thank you. It was such an thank you, Sarah, for summing up so beautifully. It was really I can't add anything. So thanks for the invitation, first of all, to
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, it was really, and to the moderation, super on playing afterwards. But yeah, I'm sure maybe we dance together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Good. Deal. And it was the most beautiful ludic format, and it was very interesting. The last guest, the first guest in between.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that format. Enjoyed it. Pleasure.
And thank you to all the artists here.
Big pleasure.
Okay. Here
we are finishing. We have already something going on. Let's finish this. We'd like to conclude.
I think we had a nice conclusion. Thank you. The exhibition will be open. We have some drinks, we can stay here, we can play, we can dance, we can ask the cards, we can enjoy all of these wonderful artworks and go deeper in these questions and perhaps find one or two answers, I don't know. And thank you also to the listeners who will be listening to this in which situation whatsoever. This was Lud in Context. And see you next time.
See you next time.
See you.
Bye. Stay playing.